is going to bring the message. You know, a church has been taught well when the church accountant can bring the message. So, Brother Steve, come lay it on us, brother.
Thank you, sir. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your provision poured out upon your people. Father, I submit this sermon to you, and let not my words be said, but your words. Let not my will be done, but your will. I say that the people have eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to receive the word as it comes forward this day. And Father, I just give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise for the work that is done this day in your name. We give you praise and honor and glory for these things. Those in agreement, said amen. Amen. Sermon title for today is Forewarned is Forearmed. I'm going to ruin basketball for many people. Got a minute to go in a basketball game. One team is down by about 4 points. Leading team inbounds the ball. What does the trailing team do? They foul. Why? Because they're willing to exchange points on the board for time in the game. Would they do that with 20 minutes left to go in the game? The devil's doing this same thing. As we get closer to the end of all things, he is doing things now that he normally would not do. He is attacking the body. He's attacking people in ways that he typically would not do. And his only goal is to win. The things we're going to talk about tonight deal with where we are right now and the attacks that the devil is using against us now and what's coming in the future. I got one page of notes, but I got an awful lot of tabs on my Bible, so I think we're going to be busy for a while. I'm going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, and hopefully the sound booth can keep up with me on stuff. Now I request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus and the gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the Lord has come. What is he saying right there? Say, don't worry. If you hear something and somebody's saying that I said that the Lord's come, don't be deceived. Why? Because in verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. What is it? The last days. The day of the Lord. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. All right, let's define three things. Apostasy. What is apostasy? It's the falling away of the body. The man of lawlessness and the son of destruction. What is that? That's the Antichrist. The last days cannot come. Jesus' return cannot come until there is a great falling away inside the church. Then the son of lawlessness and the son of perdition, the son of destruction is revealed. Forewarned is forearmed. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So you skip forward one chapter, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit explicitly says in the later times, some will fall away from the truth, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, and by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared into their own consciousness as with a branding iron. Are we hearing strange things coming out of churches right now? Are we hearing people coming out and preaching a different gospel than what Jesus has brought forward? I'm here to tell you that apostasy is happening right now. Forewarned is forearmed. Why am I bringing this to you? There is a move of God that's coming. but you need to be here. You need to be plugged in order to receive that. And if you're not here, if you're not plugged in, you're going to miss out on what God has for you and what God has for us to do out there. Thank you, Pastor, for singing the song in your presence. I mean, seeking your face, touching your grace. But you can't do that if you're not in his presence. You can't do that if you have fallen away. You can't do that if you have allowed the devil to foul you in order to keep you out of off the court and keep you out of the game. Second Timothy chapter 3, I have some bad news for you. It's titled, the subtitle in mine, it says, Difficult Times Will Come. Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, though they deny its power. Avoid such men as these. Rabbit trail. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Are we doing that right now? Is this what we see happening in the world right now? And I'd submit to you on the, if you watch the news, if you look at your Facebook feed, you read Twitter, you're seeing everything just laid out there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 happening right now in our nation today. Is that God's will? Is that what God wants? But it's happening. God said right here, it's going to happen. So it's got to be God's will, right? God knows it's going to happen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In that one sentence, God lays out time, space, and matter. In the beginning, time. God created time in the beginning. He created the heavens. He created space and the earth. So he created time, space, and matter in that one sentence right there. He created something. He created some place to put it, and he created somewhere to put it. Without any one of those three, we don't have an existence as we understand it. But he created them. Is he limited by those same things which he has created? A couple years ago, a guy that I know hired me to build him a storage shed in his backyard. 12 foot by about 16 foot. It's a really nice, really big storage shed. I'm actually pretty proud of that one. It went really well. I ordered all the materials. I brought all the materials to his backyard. I carried it from the street to his backyard. We leveled out the property, built the frame, stood the walls, built the roof, wrapped it with siding, trimmed out the inside, put a roof on it, put windows in it, put a door in it. Am I limited in my life to that 12 foot by 16 foot square of land that I built on? No. I got on top of it and I put the roof on. I went all the way around it as I was putting the siding on it. I was inside it while I was doing the shelving. I was underneath it while I was digging the footers. But I was never once limited by the thing that I built. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God said, in the beginning I created time, space, and matter. He is not limited by time. Why is it that God can look into his in here, write down what's going to happen, even though it's not his will? Because he's outside of time. He is not bound by time. Okay, so let me give you a real world example. Super Bowl 2020. Those who know me really well know that I'm a 49ers fan. That was the one game that I watched last year. And I really enjoyed the first 3.5 quarters. So those who are laughing remembered what happened. 49ers are winning 20-10 with 6 minutes to go in the game. The game ends 31-20. Now, if I was to watch that game again, would the results change? If I yelled harder and screamed more, if I hit my knees and prayed more, would that change the outcome of that game? God knows what's going to happen, not because he said, "Thou shalt do this," and all of these bad, evil things are going to occur. He knows that these things are going to occur because he created time, and he's not bound by it. He doesn't have to live in that 12-foot by 16-foot storage building that I built, just like I don't have to. He is not bound by time. He is supersedes it. He is outside of it. And so he can stand back and he can look in one fell swoop and he can see the creation and he can see Adam and Eve and he can see the original sin and the fall. And he goes all the way over and he can see the millennial reign of Christ without ever moving because he's outside of time. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 25 through 27. This section right here, and I don't want to get into real depth in here because I'm really not prepared to have this conversation, but this is actually talking about the tribulation, the rapture, things along those lines. But 7 verse 25, he will speak out. Who is he? He in this case is the Antichrist. He is going to speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. And they will be given into his hand. Who is they? The saints of the Highest One. They will be given into his hand for time, times, and a half a time. So anybody that does studies on Daniel and end times, what that time, times, and time, half a time means is 3.5 years. Everybody agrees that there's a 7-year tribulation period that's separated into the first 3.5 years and then the second 3.5 years. This is specifically talking about the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. He will wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. But the court will sit for judgment. And his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty and the dominion and the greatness of all the kingdoms of the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. And all the dominions will serve and obey him. I'm going to come back to Zechariah. I'm going to move over to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 10 virgins, they're the same. They are together. It's not like you've got some that are this group of people and some that are this group of people. You have 10 individuals who are the same. However, 5 were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no extra oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now the bridegroom was delayed, and they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out and let's meet him." And those virgins, all of the virgins, then rose and trimmed their lamps. Once again, they're all the same. They're all believers. They're waiting on Jesus to come back. There's 10, these 10 people represent the church. They're all the same, but some are acting wise and some aren't. And the foolish said to the wise, says, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise said to them, no, there will not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go out to the dealers and buy some for yourself. And while they were going away, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. And he answered, truly, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. What is God saying right here? You have the opportunity today. You are one of the 10 virgins. Which half of the church are you going to fall into? Are you going to be one of those that stays plugged in, that stays prepared, that does what they're supposed to do, that spends time with God, that goes to church, returns their tithe, gives their offering? Are you going to be that one that goes, well, you know what? I got something going on, and it's just not that worth it. Look around. Lots of people are leaving. You know, Pastor Jim's not here anymore, so it's no big deal. We don't have to come. It'll be fine. Wise, foolish, which one are you? Now, it's a Wednesday night, and you're here. I'm preaching to the choir. But forewarned is forearmed. If I was to submit to you that 5 years ago, if this message had been preached, everyone in that room would have said, oh, I'm one of the five wise. Look around. There's a lot of people who aren't here right now. There's a lot of people that, knowing the truth, for whatever reason, have fallen away. It's that apostasy that is coming. Is this the great apostasy? I don't know, but I'm just saying from my little viewpoint, I can see a falling away in our body. But it doesn't have to remain that way. Those five foolish virgins could have gotten up earlier and gone out and gotten their oil and come back and been prepared. But they chose not to. They fell asleep. Which one are you? If you have been on the foolish side, now is the opportunity. Because I'm not saying that Jesus is coming tomorrow, and I'm not saying that the Antichrist is going to be revealed tomorrow, because there are too many things that are not yet done. We have time in which to get our house in order. But we have to get our house in order. It takes an effort on your behalf to do it. We can no longer sit on our backsides and just believe, well, you know what, Pastor Jim, he prays enough for all of us, so I don't have to worry about it, I'm good. That doesn't work anymore. Okay? Pastor Richard is not your prayer warrior. He is not there to cover everything that you need in prayer. Does he cover you in prayer? Yes, he does. But no one cares about your self-interest more than you do. You should be the one that is spending time getting a relationship with God. You should be the one that is spending time here. You should be the one that is doing those things and not relying on anybody else to do it for you. Because if you rely on someone else to do it for you, their own self-interest is going to beat out your self-interest. Because if I've only got 5 minutes to pray today, I can't pray for all 100 people in this church. I can't spend my time interceding for God on behalf of everybody in the church if I've only got a little bit of time. All I can do is lift up me. But if everybody does what they're supposed to do, then they fall into the category of being the five wise virgins rather than the five foolish virgins. Zechariah. Here's my one page of notes. Awake, O sword, against... We're in chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd and the sheep may be scattered. And I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts will be cut off and perish. But the third part will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. And they will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah in chapter 13 is also talking about this same time period. He's talking about the when the Antichrist comes. that there's going to be a falling away of two-thirds of the believers. They're going to fall away. And there's going to be a third that is going to go through the fire, and they're going to be tested. And this is what God told me 3 weeks ago. Behold, now is your time of purification. Will you stand and be purified, or flee and be consumed? There are churches out there in these trying times that will bend and sway to the demands of the world. They will not survive this purification process. There are churches out there right now that says, oh, well, the government says I can't meet. Well, I'm not going to meet. There's churches out there that are saying, well, you know what? It's, I don't want to offend anybody, so we're gonna take ministering in tongues out of the church. And we're not going to talk about the blood. And we're not going to do communion. We're not going to teach on what communion actually is. We're not going to do all of these things because we don't want to offend anybody. Because it's more important to me that I have a full church where everybody gives a little bit rather than having a body of believers who actually know and will stand and will fight. And it's harder to make it financially in a church of a small group of people than it is a large group. But I'm here to tell you that this church is going to accomplish more than these churches which are swaying to the public times. Those churches which have decided, you know what, I'm going to submit to whatever the government says do. Those churches will fold up. Those churches will fold away. Those churches will be the two-thirds that are cut off that will not be purified. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Does that mean when my dog got ran over, that was a good thing? No, it does not. Does it mean when we lost a child before the baby was born, we miscarried, that was a good thing? No, it was not. When something bad happens to you, is that a good thing? No, it is not. But God says He will turn and work all things together for your good if you love God and are called according to His purpose. There's an awful lot going on in the world right now. There's an awful lot of heartache, an awful lot of problems. Are we willing to stand up? Are we willing to stand up and take the hits and take the arrows that are coming our way, knowing that even though this really does not feel good right now, I'm really having a Hoover moment, for those who know Mike Warnke. Because, you know, vacuum cleaners, you know, they clean by sucking. For those who didn't get the joke to start off with. It's really bad right now. It's really tough. I can't get through it. But if you know that on the back end of this, Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Then the sovereignty and the dominion and the greatness of all the kingdoms of under the whole heaven will be given unto the people of the saints of the highest one. And His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey Him. Yes, it's tough right now. And it's tough because we're in this earth suit and we're having to deal with the devil who's running around there, who's busy fouling us, trying to get more time to try to save time so he can put more points on the board. Are you willing to just roll over and yield to those attacks? That's the question you have to ask. That's the question you have to ask, because that is what's going on right now. And that's what's happening out there right now. And that's what you're seeing on your Facebook feed, your Twitter feed, and on the local news, where people are all angst and they're all worked up and they don't realize what spirit is motivating them to do the things they're doing. Because if we would raise up our own kids and raise our own kids to treat everybody with honor and respect, the problems we're having out there right now wouldn't exist. All of our problems today can be traced to a failure in the family. Now, a lion's share of that is single-parent households. But it's not only there. It's absentee parents. You could have two people there who, you know, going out and working, and the kids are latchkey kids, and they come home and they never see their parents, and their parents never give them any discipline. And the parents are like, oh, well, you know, whatever you feel, you know, whatever you want to do, it's all good, it's fine. And they never tell them no. And they never give them a boundary. And it will kill them. William has not always been 6'6". He used to be about that tall. So we lived on this road in Greenlawn. It was a really busy road. It was a surface street. I mean, we weren't living on a divided road with, you know, that was supposed to have a ton of traffic on it, but it was the main road into our neighborhood. And there was an awful lot of homes downstream for us, as it were. Well, the neighbors across the street were moving, and I was over there helping the husband finish loading everything out. The wife was on our side of the street talking to Tammy. William was holding Mom's hand. I'm over there, Mom's over here, and William decided, I want to be over there. And so I had a Ford Ranger at that point in my life, and it was parked on the street, right on the curb, and he took off. I guess he was probably 15 feet from the curb, takes off. And my wife screams at him, stop. By the time he pulls up, he's standing in front of the driver's side headlight of the Ford Ranger. He stops and turns around and goes, what? And when he does that, there goes a car doing about 35 miles an hour. Had he not obeyed immediately, he would not be with us today. And it would not have been the driver's fault, because he wouldn't have seen him. He was this tall. He would have stepped right out from in front of that vehicle, and the guy would have never stood a chance of stopping. When William was born, he broke his first rule before he was an hour old. Oh my God, Steve, what could you possibly have for a rule for a 1 hour old baby? You can't suck your thumb. That was his first rule. That was his only rule when he was born. You can't suck your thumb. Now, we had bought a pacifier, and we stuck a pacifier in his mouth, and he spit it out, and he stuck his thumb in his mouth. And so we told him no, and we pulled his thumb out, and we put a pacifier in his mouth, and he'd spit it out, and he'd stick his thumb in his mouth. And we went through this, and my mother-in-law said, perhaps he doesn't like that pacifier. I don't know anything about this sort of stuff, okay? I'm a 25-year-old guy. I've never held a newborn in my life. I don't know anything from anything. And I looked at her and I go, there's other styles? And she says, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be back. So I left. I go to HEB. I go to the baby section. And I literally buy one of every size, shape, and style of pacifier they had. Go back up to the hospital. Open them up. Take his thumb out of his mouth. Stick a pacifier in his mouth. He spit that one out. Okay, open up the next one. Stick it in his mouth. He spit that one out. I don't know how many I went through before I found the one that he wanted. And I stuck that in his mouth, and he goes, I like that. It's like, okay, so I looked at the package. I'm like, okay, the next time I'm going to HEB, I'm buying more of these, because I've heard the story of Jared and hiding pacifiers. So I'm going to make sure that I have plenty of these, because he can't suck his thumb. We established a rule early on in our household that our children knew what was right and what was wrong. We established those rules. We have families today, whether they're single parent households or double parent households, that are not establishing those rules. And because of that, the devil is able to use them out there, causing hate and discontent across this world. I missed something somewhere. There it is. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like it was in the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Well, what does that mean? What does it look like in the days of Noah? If you flip over to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and it grieved his heart. There are people out there right now where the intent of their heart is continually on doing evil. We have not put forward a structure in our society. We have not put forth a structure in our households. And there are some churches that there's not been a structure that's been put up to allow people to understand that you can go this far and you can do anything that you want inside this zone and you're safe and you're secure. But once you step outside that boundary, you're going to have problems. People gave us a hard time when our kids were young because we put our kids on leashes. Here's the deal. They had a harness and they had a leash on them, and that leash was attached to my wrist or attached to Tammy's wrist. And they were pretty much given free rein to do what they wanted to do inside the circle around us. But we knew William. We knew what was going to happen if we did not have a firm grasp on his hand. He was going to be gone. Just like that day when we're moving, he took off because we didn't have any way of controlling him. There was no boundary. But the boundary we had instilled in him by that point in his life was immediate obedience to orders. Sorry, I'm a Marine. My wife is a Marine. That's what we did. We had to do that. But we gave him the freedom inside this space. You can do pretty much whatever you want to do inside here. And when my kids became teenagers, they say, Dad, can I do this? And I'm like, sure, I don't care. Go for it. Why? I can't think of a time that my kids came to me when they were teenagers that they asked me for permission to do something that I told them no. Unless it already violated something else that was going on that the family had set up. I've got this event scheduled. You want to go hang out with your friends? Sorry, the family is going to go do this. But if I didn't have anything else going on, if I was planning on sitting on the couch with a glass of sweet tea and you want to go hang out with your friends, go. Why? Because we had already established those rules and those boundaries for them. They knew what they were expected to do when they went out there. I wasn't worried that they were going to go out and run with the wrong crowd because they didn't want to be with the wrong crowd. They knew what those rules were. Society has failed in doing that, and we are right now watching the days of Noah living out there. Rabbit trail, all those people that say, well, God, why does God allow evil to occur? Why does God let evil happen? Well, I can name at least one time in the Bible where God says, okay, I've had enough of evil, I'm going to put a stop to it. And then he flooded the earth. How many people would appreciate God's plan to end evil in the earth right now by creating another flood? That's the way God deals with it. That's the way that God addressed it. And at the end of the flood, God said, I'll never do that again. But he also said that he's going to shorten the time that we are on the earth, especially during the tribulation, because if those days were not cut short, all flesh would be destroyed. 7 years seems like a really long time for the tribulation. Can you imagine what it would be like if it was longer? He has said, He has said that he wants a holy people. He has called us to be holy in his sight. He has called us to be his hand extended out there. But if we are too busy feeding our own selves, taking care of what we want to do, doing what we want to do, we can't do what God wants done out there. I was getting gas today. And I drive an ambulance, and so it's always a conversation starter. People come over and check out my truck. And says, "Oh yeah, my daughter used to drive ambulance." I'm like, "Well, it's no longer an ambulance. I use it for work. I do residential remodeling." I was like, "Oh, okay." And so we chat for a little bit, and then I go back to filling up my truck because it takes a long time. And he popped the hood on his popped the trunk on his vehicle, and he came out with a Gideon Bible. And he came to give it to me. And I go, "Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. My very first Bible that I ever received was a green one of those that the Gideons gave me when I shipped out to boot camp. And I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I appreciate what you guys are doing because it means something. There is a man who has dedicated his life to being God's hand extended out there." Okay? I got nothing bad to say about the Gideons. They are doing what they know to do. But for him who's been taught more and has been taught better, you have a higher standard. And I'm telling you, if you have been in this church for any serious amount of time, you know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what the calling of God is on your life. And you are supposed to be that light out there. I'm spending my light shining it into the political realm, trying to bring God's truth and reality into the political realm, because everything that those people do affects everything in every area and every arena of your life. I would rather not have to do that, but I do. I was leaving the bank yesterday and was talking with a gentleman and had to walk him through what was happening and why it was important, why it matters who you elect. Because if you choose the wrong people, evil things happen. And I'm here to tell you that in cities across this nation, they have elected the wrong people. They have the wrong leadership in every area and department of their city, and we're allowing hate and discontent to manifest on the streets. I get off my political soapbox there. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. "So then, brethren, stand firm, hold to the traditions by which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. And may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." Stand firm and hold to the traditions by which you were taught, by word, standing here, or by letter from us. This is what you are supposed to be doing. And if you will do these things, God is going to grant you eternal comfort, good hope, comfort, and strengthen your heart for every good work and every word. I know I'm missing something. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we already did verses 1 through 5, where he's talking about all the problems that's coming, the difficult times, where the people are going to be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents, and so on. This is a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging Timothy as he is doing the work. Verse 10. Now you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings. What did he just say there? He's talking to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, he says, you've seen all of the stuff I've done and all the stuff I've gone through. You followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. And what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I know this is not a promise in the Bible that you want to know, that you want to hear, but forewarned is forearmed. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're in June of 2020. Saw a funny meme on Facebook that says, okay, July, when you come in, we just want you to sit down and shut up and don't touch anything. Things have gone from bad to worse in 2020. Things were not all that great 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We're like, can it get any worse? Okay, you know. I am kind of hoping that whoever is playing this game of Jumanji will finish up pretty soon. Verse 14, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. I hate to tell you this, there are problems coming. But there is a way out of them. When we fall into the ditch, when we fall into that in the wayside, there is a way out, but it requires upon us to go back to the teaching which we have heard, which we have read, and know that there is a way that God has already made a way for us to get out of it. And if we will do those things, He will give us that wisdom and the understanding of what we are supposed to be doing out there. Notice I keep saying, out there. I've known some of you people since you were born. I've known a lot of you people for two decades. I know you. We need to spend some time building each other up, but the majority of our effort needs to be spent out there working to try to save as many people and get those people in here so that we can get the bills paid? No. So that we can defend the people from the attacks of Satan. It's a minute to go in the game, and the devil is out there trying to foul. What are you going to do to those people out there to help them not have to deal with this? Now, how does the fouling thing not work in basketball? If the guy makes his free throws, so the devil attacks. Even though he attacks, because you're promised right there, you're going to get some persecutions. It's promised. Do what you're supposed to do. Make your free throws. Because I'm here to tell you that if you're on a basketball court and you're down by four and you foul a guy that is a 100% free throw shooter, they're not going to do it. It's a losing situation. They're going to wait for him to try to get that ball to somebody else that they can then foul him. Wisdom is put the ball in the hand of the guy that always makes the shots. Be that guy. Be that guy who always makes the shot. Be the wise virgin who is prepared and does those things that you know you're supposed to be doing right now. This is not supposed to be a sheep whipping. But I would not be doing my job if I didn't tell you what's coming. There's some guy whose job it is to stand there on a road wearing a high visibility vest, holding a stop sign to wave people away. Stop, don't go this way. Yesterday I was driving into a neighborhood, had to go visit with a customer, pull into the street, up the hill. Oh, look, there's somebody blocking traffic all the way across. Now, why didn't you have somebody a block and a half down there to tell me, don't turn down this road because you can't go? I would have very easily just made the block and life would have been fine. But if you've seen my vehicle, backing it up in neighborhoods is not the wisest thing for me to do. But they didn't have anybody out there with a stop sign saying, hey, road closed ahead. We're digging up the road to lay some new pipe because a pipe broke or something. That's our job, is to be that guy out there to others. And my job today is to be that guy for you. I trust that you are doing what you know to be done. But this is encouragement that when things get hard, and they will, when problems come, and they will, to stand firm on the teaching that you have garnered in the decades you've been in this church, or the years you've been in this church, or the months that you've been in this church. Because I'm here to tell you that there's not any teaching anywhere else out there that's going to be to the level that you're going to get in this church. The ministers that we have, Pastor Brian, John, Ken, Damon, these men spend their time and their heart's effort into hearing from God so that they will bring to you what you need to know. They followed the example of the man of God for three decades that they sat under their teaching. Where Pastor Jim would, and I personally watched him do this, every week he spent his time praying to hear from God to bring a fresh word to you. And I know these men are doing the same. My encouragement to you is know that hard times are coming, but know that you win in the end. That even though you do get fouled, make your free throws and win the game.
Okay, well, we know what to do now. Excellent word, good teaching. Can't argue with it because it was all scripture. Good job, Brother Steve. Thank you. Let's participate in that by being a blessing to Brother Steve. He 100% volunteers all of his time and effort here at the church, so we can be a blessing to him for bringing the word. Praise God. To be forewarned is to be forearmed, and I'm not talking about this right here. I'm talking about armed with the word of God, the Spirit of God, knowing what our move is, knowing what we're supposed to be doing. God is good. God is good. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that your Spirit has written down for our benefit. Father, for the men and women who came before us that you spoke through to bring us your word. And for your Holy Spirit that brings it to our remembrance, that teaches us the truth of that word and teaches us the good things of you, Father God. Father, I thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven, therefore it will not fail. And as it has been planted in our heart, it will produce much fruit in us, Father God. And I thank you that fruit will remain. Father God, that your kingdom will be established and your dominion and your authority will be over all the earth. And Father, we thank you for that time that we look forward to. You see it already. But Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Because you are so good. We know it's a good thing for us. And you deliver us. You keep us. You have saved us with safety, soundness, wholeness, deliverance. And Father, I thank you that you cause our lives to be abundantly blessed because of your word and because of our obedience to your word. We give praise, glory, and honor to you, Father. And I just bless these people who have come out and those who are watching by live stream. I thank you, Father, for their lives. I thank you that you have them covered with your blood. You have them covered with your word, and that no evil befalls them. But they are standing true and standing tall as ministers of reconciliation and your gospel so that others may know you. We thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Well, I call you blessed. I say you have something? Okay. We'll take a short minute here and hear what the Lord has to say. While she's looking, I'll make an announcement that the praise team is meeting tomorrow night for the first time in a long time. And then there's, for those of you who are being led into deeper and more consistent prayer, Saturday night at 7 o'clock, Pastor Michelle will be here. And I know a few others that are coming, so you can avail yourself of that as well. And then, of course, on Sunday, we're going to have a big blowout.
I'm sorry, y'all. I couldn't find where I wrote it down. So I'm just going to nutshell it. Do y'all know it's an election year, right? Y'all know it's an election year. You see what's going on. The pandemic, the strife in the streets, the unemployment rate lowered by the pandemic. Do you guys see what's happening? Is what's happening in the streets right now and around our nation about change? Is it about rights for African Americans? Is it about ending systemic racism? Is it? Because if it was about that, didn't Obama have an opportunity to correct that while he was in office for 8 years? But he didn't, did he? So why do we praise him? Because he opened the doors for some things that Trump, by the grace of God, is closing the doors to. Am I wrong? Right. Do we need love? Yes. But what is all this about? The election. Do you see how they're attacking every bullet point on his record, every item of success? Look at what he did for African Americans. And now they're saying he's done nothing. But he did more than the administrations before him combined. I'm not here to defend Trump. We already know. We heard from our founding pastor by the Spirit of God, the same man that Steve reminded us told us to buy copper and to do a bunch of other stuff. He also told us what, Brother Steve? That he was going to be a two-term president. This is not a time to get caught up in this drama that they're producing right now. It is false. Okay? This division between white and black. You are being deceived. Louis Farrakhan is not your friend. Okay? He doesn't love God. Okay? The forces and the powers that be that want to push President Trump out of the way, that have been fighting him for the last 4 years, that are trying to keep him from being reelected, are not the powers of God. Snap out of it. Racism is real, but it has existed the whole time. Steve came up here and expertly debunked the myth of race. We left the world system and became one tribe. We are the body of Christ. We are in this world. We are not of it. We're looking to heaven, eagerly awaiting a savior, because that's where our citizenship is. So if you are caught up in this mess down here, repent and get with one of these elders. They'll lay it down for you. Raise your hand, Brian. Raise your hand. Raise your hand, elder. I said raise your hand. Yes, raise your hand too. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. John, raise your hand so people know where you are. I need you to raise your hand. Pastor, raise your hand. Dimitri, is that you back there? Raise your hand. Where's Steve at? Steve, raise your hand. Why? Why I asked him to raise a hand? Because if you don't know, you can go to one of these and they will break it down for you. They will explain to you. They will guide you. Okay? They will show you what's real from what is false. And they will show you in the word. They're anointed to do so. You don't have to be ignorant. And if you are believing and what you see on TV, and if you are caught up in that, guess what? You are not walking in the light. You are wrong. I'm not even going to pretend with you. Why? Because I love you. And I already told y'all I wasn't nice. I'm not. I'm a Sour Patch Kid. Sweet on the outside, tart in the middle, okay? Anyway, look. They're trying to undo his record. Other nations are working together to fight him right now. It's not just about one party versus another. This is a concerted effort. Do you really think people in Bangkok care about the rights of the African American? But they're protesting. And they're claiming that Black Lives Matter. We're talking about homogenous nations that are notorious for their own racism. But they care about us and they want real change for us. That is politically driven. Come on, if you need contacts, I'll chip in and get you a doctor's visit. Let me know. But here's why I'm saying all this, and this is why I'm saying it real sassy and stuff, because I'm telling the truth. Okay, we need to pray for our president. It is a full court press right now. We are watching a battle between light and darkness take place. We have a promise. He will be elected again. But let me tell you, we're seeing the battle televised. Can you imagine what's happening to him on these other levels? Because he's a tripart being just like we are. We need to cover him.
Yes, really brief.
Okay. Really brief. Okay, spiritual battle, like she was saying, and it's online. You can see it. You can even look at it for yourself. If you Google "witches curse Trump," you will see from the time he was elected president, even probably up until now, that there are witches that have gotten together to curse the president.
Yeah,
regularly. If you Google "witches curse Obama," you don't see anything except there is a raw video. This is a video on YouTube. It says, raw video. When Obama got elected president, witches were in Washington, D.C., and it says on there, "witches sweep Washington, D.C. clean." In other words, they were excited when Obama got elected president. This had nothing to do with party, whether he's black or white or whatever. They were excited when he got elected president. they were not excited, and they are not excited when Trump got elected president. So.
Tells you something. Well, take all these things to heart. Take them to God, and God's got it sorted out. I know that we win. Because no matter what the circumstance or situation, there's trouble in the world, but God, our Jesus, said he has overcome. And we win. Amen. Thank you for those comments. Well, I call you blessed. We will see you whenever you're scheduled to be here next. Good night. You're blessed. Love you all.